Hello there, this is Stacey Allen McGee, founder of the Alternate Reality Center. We'd like to extend a personal invitation to all of the Ghostly Talk audience to come down and visit with us and the people of the past in Upper East Tennessee and Southwest Virginia on any of our 9 different walking tours. You can find out more about us at AppalachianGhostWalk.com, and we hope you're enjoying your time with Ghostly Talk. Thank you.
Hey, this is Grant Wilson from Ghost Hunters. You might want to check out the Taps Power Magazine at tapspowermagazine.com. And you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Murphy.
Hey, Murph, what's up? Dude.
Did I forget to tell you that Murph and I are dating?
Murph.
He came to
That's why we're having all these problems now.
Murph, huh?
Yeah.
We're on a first syllable basis.
That's how it works.
I want to talk to people who are independent artists. I want to talk to I am so pro independent media, I can't even see straight, right? I mean, I'm just like... so independent media driven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And my comment about MySpace notwithstanding, okay, mm-hmm. News Corp, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, yeah, no, you make a very good point, though.
I am so incredibly independent media driven. And let's put it this way. Independent media, and I'm talking about podcasts, and I'm talking about independent movies, and I'm talking about those little things you put up on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about books that you self-publish or publish at a small publishing house. I'm talking about all the things that people do that keeps you out of your comfortable armchairs and off of your couches in front of the TV watching...
garbage.
Reality TV shows or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Your hobbies. I'm talking about our hobby.
Mm-hmm.
I have two main hobbies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ghost hunting and evidently amateur broadcasting. I'm talking about things that you do. Our freedoms are being eaten away one by one. Okay, by the government. They're just taking them. Our freedoms are ours, guaranteed by the Constitution. They're ours unless we give them up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, unfortunately, what's happening is the government's just taking our freedoms, and then later we're like, hey, wait a minute, that was my freedom. And they're like, not anymore, because now, we have it.
Mm-hmm.
And it drives me insane. They're trying to do this to the Internet as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not only just using governmental regulations. They're doing other things as well. They're doing the News Corp buying out MySpace thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're big, big media is ridding a lot of the free, they're absorbing a lot of the freedoms off the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
The Internet is the last bastion of true freedom that we have. You can't drive down a highway anymore without some electronic gizmo watching you.
Exactly. I see it a lot.
and I was just on a trip all weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't, and I don't mind all that. I mean, I mind it, yes, but am I going to do anything about it? No, I'm not. I'm not going to do anything about that. That's somebody else's fight, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in our freedoms to express ourselves. I'm interested in our freedoms to create. I'm interested in our freedoms and what we do to have our say.
And you have much support in the chat room.
Well, thank you.
They're saying, rant on, Doug.
So what I want folks to do, and if you have a podcast, let it be known that you have a podcast, okay? I want you to write to everybody on the planet. I don't care if it looks like a spam mail. I want everybody to know that you have a podcast, that you have something to say. If you feel that you have something to say, that you're adding value to the world by expressing yourself, and that you've done it in a creative and interesting way, one that people want to listen to, let somebody know about it. And I'm talking about, you can write to me. There's not much I can do about it, but but you can write to me, and I may even subscribe. I've done that. I have done this, and I've subscribed to podcasts, and they come down on my little iPod thing, and I listen. But I'm just one person. If you can get in contact with, look at what Ghostly Talk has done. We're on so many incredible networks and have so many incredible affiliates. And we've done that by writing to people, by emailing people.
Mm.
I want people with podcasts, with internet radio shows, with YouTube feeds or whatever. I don't know what they are. But although I did spend a considerable amount of time on that. That silly website 2 weekends ago.
Mm.
But whatever you do, if you're creating and you're expressing yourself and you have something to say and you're having fun doing it, let other people know. We cannot rely on News Corp, Clear Channel, the FCC, anybody else to let people know that we're out here.
Mm.
We as independent broadcasters do not have, we don't have managers.
We don't have agents.
We don't have PR departments.
We don't have a whole office working for us trying to, like, you know, market our product.
Just one lonely support hoe.
We have
one lonely support hoe sitting here with a scowl on her face week after week.
And pizza.
And pizza.
Yeah, I feed you at least.
We don't have a budget.
Sometimes we have a budget, but then it goes away.
Well, that's the thing. As soon as you buy something, like a little gizmo for here. But we need to be heard. People need to be heard. Not we. I don't care about Ghostly. I do care about Ghostly Talk, but I don't care if Ghostly Talk, you know, gets more and bigger and better and more wonderful and on satellite and across the universe. That's fine. That would be great. That's a goal and ideal of mine. But individuals need to use their freedom of expression. And the only way left right now, as far as I can see, is the internet. And there are people out there with podcast stations or podcast listings and things like that. Go to these places. Ask them to listen to you. Say, could you listen to me and see if I fit in your format? Could you listen to me? You know what you're going to get? Rejection. Cold shoulders. And occasionally, perhaps, that's pretty cool. I like that. And you know what? That's what it's all about. It's all about the rejection. It's all about the cold shoulders. It's all about the occasional yes. And that's what we need to do as individuals. I am an amateur ghost hunter. I love ghost hunting. I just went this past weekend. I haven't been going enough. I have something to say, right? It was depressing. It was horrible that South Bend was, you know, did not live up to its online reputation. As far as just the few things that I checked out. But I wanted to talk about it. And I have a forum to do that. And the only way that I have a forum to do that is I built it up from scratch. Right? I worked hard. I didn't work hard alone. I didn't work hard alone. I have a lot of people helping me. A lot of great friends. And a lot of people who, for some reason, listen to us. And I thank each and every one of you. And I appreciate it. And I want to try to entice you to also speak up. Email people. Leave feedback. I know I've complained about feedback on the iTunes website. I was concerned about that for a while in my life. And you know what? I don't go there anymore. But I want good feedback. And give feedback to broadcasters, to podcasters and broadcasters and YouTubers or whatever. I don't know what they call themselves.
Well, good feedback can be a lot of things, though, too. Good feedback. When you say good feedback, I know you mean, like, you know, there's
it could be scathing.
Oh, yeah. We've had it before. We're cool with that.
Scathing feedback. I've had people say, you know what, this, that, the other thing. Our biggest thing right now is our levels. Our levels mm-hmm. suck. Okay, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I know, thanks. Email me again. but our levels suck, okay, and we're working on it. But the thing is, If we get really, it could be scathing, horrendous feedback. I got feedback from somebody who said, I'm not listening to you and neither are 10 of my friends or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And no reason. I mean, well, there's a bit of a reason. It was like because you guys don't talk enough. But but you know that was a theme, you know.
Yeah.
Which is why I listened. You know what we did? Because of him and several others, we created Neoclassicals We Talk.
Yeah.
Now that's the only thing we do is talk.
Mm-hmm.
An hour every 2 weeks. But the no reason, and that's not overly constructive. You could have a scathing feedback. It could be, you know, absolutely like, you know, oh, man, you know, this was bad, that was bad, this was bad. You know what? I had heard this other thing that did it right, and it's this way. Try and work that in. Okay, there you go. There's a suggestion. There's that. That's something I can work with. I don't mind scathing, evil, mean feedback.
No. That's part of doing this thing.
And I don't mind good feedback. Like, keep it up, dudes.
Oh, I love that.
I listen in the car. You know, I listen at work. I listen
the
kitchen.
That's one of the main things that drives this show is the people that do appreciate what we're doing, and that's what we're doing. That's why we're out there. We keep doing this week to week.
But there's others who are doing it, too.
Well, there's lots of others that are doing it.
And I know, I don't know them personally, you know, but I've emailed them or I'm familiar with their work. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they want feedback, too. And I want other people to say stuff as well. And that's why we have people call in. And well, we don't have calling lines anymore, like where people just call in randomly. But that's why we talk to people like David and Jennifer and Sean,
mm-hmm,
and all these folks. Havoc, although he's also the news guy, so he's kind of double duty. But, you know,
yeah.
We talk to them. We talk to people who are affiliated with ghost hunting groups because, you know what, that's what I'm interested in. That's what I like.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to hear them. In that last segment,
mm-hmm,
we were playing EVPs. And I asked some questions of David, and he gave me brilliant, insightful answers because, you know why? I'm out in the field and he's out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand that. We understand, like, what about, you know, the echo? What about whispering? What about, you know, a small house? What about the, you know, moving, walking with your recorder inside a cemetery or inside of a house situation? What about these things? Why does that affect me in what I like to do? And he gave brilliant answers, and well, some of those were his topics, but you get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
We communicated, and I learned. And I like that. I really like it when that happens.
Yeah.
And that's why I like to talk to David, and that's why I like to talk to all the folks that we get to talk to. And we need more of this,
mm-hmm,
not less. We need no, I would like no competition.
Mm.
I would like to never be affiliated with Clear Channel or News Corp. Unfortunately, we're on MySpace. But, you know, we can't be helped. The News Corp owns MySpace. You can't do anything about it. So,
that was, we were on there way before News Corp bought them out.
Yes,
so.
We were. But that,
yeah.
But
we could pull the plug and just say
I'm
no.
I'm a poser way. Now, yeah. No.
Yeah.
No, I don't care. You know, it's still MySpace, and it has, you know, it built up, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's now a powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with iTunes. iTunes is Apple's powerhouse. And
mm-hmm,
and at first I hated iTunes. I kind of like it now, but it's still owned by, you know, a media powerhouse,
mm-hmm,
or a new media powerhouse, because they weren't a media powerhouse before iTunes, but now they are. But anyway,
mm-hmm,
you get the idea.
You're right.
Independent media. I am so pro-independent media. It hurts. And Tom Smith, independent media. There's just so much great stuff out there. And it's not on channel 97.1. It's not on channel 99.7. Well, it is in the point, you know. It's not Clear Channel is what I'm saying. It's not the huge.
There's a lot more to bite down on.
I want independent media. I absolutely love micropower stations. I love micropower stations. They're the only people, and they're working within the realms of the law, right? They've got their licenses, and that's hard to do. This is not something where, oh, you know, I'll send in $20. No, it's difficult, and they're getting unique, interesting programming mm-hmm. out there, and I love that.
I think it's very important. It needs to happen, like you said a few minutes ago, Doug, that the internet is the last effigy we have to speak a true voice out there to a lot of people.
In a lot of cases, unfortunately, that is true.
It's very true, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot...
And now, okay.
It's a frustrating thing.
Do you know
thing.
What? And here's the thing. Everyone's going to say, oh my gosh, is he so two-faced? At the same time, another thing that I absolutely love is that even the big guns, even the History Channel, even Discovery, even Sci-Fi, even... all those, you know, big
media conglomerate
yeah. people things mm-hmm. are finally tuning into paranormal stuff.
Well, I think they're starting. I think we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, Doug.
I love that.
I don't know where this came up at, but I know it was discussed here a while ago, and the point was brought up that I think a lot of these larger conglomerates now are really looking towards podcasting. Looking towards these independent shows that are out there, whether it be movies or radio like us or whatever it may be, and that's what they're looking towards because that's where they're seeing the real media is coming from. Unfortunately, when you do that, when that happens, I mean, God, I can cite one example right now, and that's punk rock. I mean, God, the 90s just destroyed punk rock. I mean, it's a whole different animal than it used to be. It used to be something dangerous. Now it's something, you know, you can go to the mall and get your hair colored. You can do all kinds of fun stuff, right? I mean, it's a totally different animal now. And I would really hate to see that happen to what we've been doing here on Ghostly. I mean, a variation of it. I mean, I don't think we're ever going to put up with that.
It's not going to happen to this show. But, you know, this show, dies a lonely death eventually, you know, it does. But I think we've filled a wonderful purpose already.
Uh-huh.
I hope to continue doing it.
We will continue doing it.
Well, I will continue doing it, mm-hmm. until, you know, but the thing is we, you know, there's changes in the wind. There's always changes mm-hmm. and things change. And when we started it, there was nothing to change. So yeah, it was a change.
We were writing the rules then.
Yeah.
We were going, okay, this is, you know, I guess we just do it this way, huh?
Yeah.
This is what sound.
Let's
it sounds
turn this
cool.
On and give this a
you know, we never cut our bumpers to exactly 30 seconds, for example, because that's industry standard. We said, well, it sounds good that way. I think that's going to represent us the best right there. Let's do it that way. It didn't have to be in this neat little box and framed and wrapped for you. It was done the way we like to do it. And that was way back when we were like kids, you know.
Right.
I mean,
and I enjoyed it, and I still enjoy it, and that's how Ghostly Talk's always going to be. But the you know, there's other things in the works. There's the Paranormal Minds thing that may or may not happen. There's the
Neoclassic Ghostly Talk.
There's other projects that we will fit into that format.
Mm-hmm.
I got to listen to Sirius Satellite Radio.
Oh, did you?
This past weekend.
Okay.
I know a lot of people love satellite radio. I know a lot of people absolutely love it.
Mm.
I didn't see anything special.
Well,
sorry.
I myself have not been like witness to the awe and splendor of Sirius Satellite Radio yet.
XM. I mean, they're both
the same type thing. Yeah.
Or the same, or I don't know.
What didn't
He's
grab
hot.
You? What didn't grab you on this, Doug? I mean, what? I mean, from what I understand, people are just like, wow about
well,
this.
We ended up listening to the Comedy Channel.
Okay.
Right? And evidently they play snippets of comedians in an echo chamber or something. I don't know. Anyway, and it was funny. So one was extremely funny. It was funny, yeah. Did I need that? I would have so much rather been listening to Mr. Poos.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
He's funny.
He's funny.
He is funny.
Bonnie disagrees. She has a funny.
I don't like Mr. Poos. Mr. Poos is great. We love Mr. Poos here. We like him so much, we let him come on this show not too long ago
but
and tell us that everything he's talking about is bullcrap.
It doesn't have to be Mr. Poos. I love listening to Full Moon Radio.
Hometown Tales.
Hometown Tales.
Killer show.
Night Watch.
Mm-hmm. Great show.
All these things. I would rather have been listening to something produced by us.
Mm-hmm.
Not you and me.
No, yeah.
Us.
By people like us.
Our generation.
Mm-hmm.
Our peeps.
Yo.
You know, not...
The grassroots production.
Now, I have to say, the life of a comedian is a tough one. You start out eating people's leftover Cheetos, right?
Because mm-hmm.
you just cannot afford your own bag. And and you really work. I mean, you pound the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
And you play the seediest, most raunchiest, naughtiest little clubs. And you do whatever you can. And you don't get paid sometimes. And mm-hmm. you... Or oftentimes. And you make a name for yourself. You work really, really hard to get any notoriety in the comedy industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so the comedy industry is a little different. But they certainly didn't do any of the individual comedians that they played any justice.
Mm-hmm.
They played a snippet, maybe 5-10 minutes, and that was it. And they didn't even say, oh, that was... so-and-so.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, did they give them a website to go to?
It's scrolls.
Oh, it's going to digital readout.
Yeah, okay. A little digital thing. I don't know. I didn't like the format of that show.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a lot out there. I think that's the point. That really is the bottom point of this whole thing, and I think you put it really well, Doug, and there is just so much media out there. There's so much stuff that you can listen to nowadays, and it's a result of the Internet. The last bastion of freedom we may have in this country. The last bastion of freedom we may have. And if you look around, and Doug, that was a great example, is on our freeways. I'm noticing more and more and more of those cameras up all over the freeways now. They're everywhere.
And I'm not a conspiracy theorist person. It's not one of my top interests.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I'm not blind. I see these things happening. I just, your freedoms are being eaten away, and I want people to voice their opinions. I want more shows.
Mm-hmm.
I want more shows like Ghostly Talk. I want more shows not like Ghostly Talk.
Yeah.
I want more shows by people who like Ghostly Talk and people who hate Ghostly Talk. And I want more shows by... I want more paranormal shows.
Yeah.
And I want you to take your paranormal podcast and your paranormal show and your paranormal book and your paranormal everything, and I want you to get the word out. And I want you to write emails. And I want you to say, hey, can you read my book? Hey, can you listen to my podcast? Hey, can you pay a little bit of attention to me? Because if you do, maybe there's others who will.
That includes us too. Send it to us also.
Hey,
because we've
subscribed to some.
We love the pimp people on here. We love that we've done it a million times in the past and we'll do it a million times in the future. Send us your podcast if you have a podcast. Send it over. Tell us. Give us the link of the RSS feed thing, whatever it is. I don't even know how the heck it works. Still, I throw it up there and I let people do what they got to do with it. But send it over to us and I'll figure it out. Doug will already have it figured out. And he'll probably have to ask for his help. Send it over. Get it out there. Get it out there. This is a big subject for us.
It's a big subject for me.
And I don't want to see people. No, people need to get out there and get their
media out
there.
Are you in competition with us if you do this?
What, us?
With anybody, other podcasters. There's podcasting sites that say, oh, this was number one. You're number two. You're number 408. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't think we're number one. I don't think we're number one anywhere.
I don't want to be. I don't care if I'm number one. What I care is that I'm getting out there. I have something to do right now other than sit on my and watch
reality
Project
TV
Runway or whatever. Which, by the way...
What is that exactly?
It's hilarious. It's also a huge waste of time, but it's hilarious. I mean, oh my God, I can't even... Okay, so...
Good place for a break, I think. Why don't we do that?
Please. Yeah, when you've mentioned Project Runway...
It's time to go to a break.
It's time to go to break and someone slap you. Yeah.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott Al.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.
rock, and everything in between. The best variety is right here on the OmniSat Radio 1 Network.
This is Tommy Nesbin from the Haunted Hate Walking Tour. It goes out every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And you can get your tickets at hauntedhate.com. And you're listening to Ghostly Talk with Scott L., Doug, and Will.
Well, I can't do anything right today, right today. Can't do anything right.
Furniture gets moved around and all kinds of bizarre things happen, and they happen instantaneously.
Do you see this?
With those types of cases, those situations, they focal around the child usually going through puberty. Well, this particular case took a twist and did something that I have never seen happen before. In this home, while we were there investigating, the furniture was moving around and the child wasn't even on the property. And it kind of escalated to a situation that really altered the way I was looking at poltergeist cases, where normally that child is the focal point when things are occurring and happening in a home. But totally blew a theory that I had where the child had to be within a certain area to cause the things to occur. So that led me to believe that we were dealing with something a lot more malevolent than I actually thought in the original investigation. Not only that, too, during the process and during the investigation, a couple of weeks back when I was on the property, the mom had called me about these crazy screeching noises that were occurring in the house.
Yeah.
And I was talking to her on the telephone, and we were going back and forth, and I thought it was the child that was screaming. She goes, oh, you can hear that? And I went, yeah. And I said, you know, that's your child. She goes, no, she's not here.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the screeching noises. So needless to say, I got out there a couple of weeks back, and setting up the equipment around and everything, was able to actually catch some of those screeching noises, and was looking at the child as this was occurring, and they weren't coming from her.
Oh my God.
And actually got some grunting and some pig noises that actually came through, too. Here again, right out of the thin air, they weren't actually coming directly from the child. That's a second thing that in many years had to change the way I was thinking about something and the way I was looking at something to a totally new realm of trying to understand exactly what the heck is going on in this house.
Had that kind of activity happened before in any previous cases, not by you, because you said this was the first time you'd run into it, but any reported case where the child didn't have to be present for the activity to happen? Do you know of any previous stuff?
I know of several different cases that where they had the voices, they had the screeching, as they referred to it, and the pig noises, but the children were around when it was occurring. And they were within the vicinity when it was happening. But this is happening totally here again, totally separate, and it's something that I have to look at from a whole brand new angle now to try and figure out exactly what is causing this, what is exactly happening. I recently just got into a discussion in regards to human spirit, the negative spirit, or the demonic. And the one thing that I've come to a conclusion to after all these years is that with this, whether it's human spirit or something on the negative level, it has an intelligence to it, and it can manipulate the energies within these situations of hauntings and haunted locations. And a lot of times we can't necessarily prove these things out, and this is why I always refer to it as the paranormal. We're studying it, trying to figure it out. But there's no doubt in my mind that when we're dealing with a lot of this, it definitely has an intelligence behind it to be able to cause and manifest, to cause sounds and cause different things to actually occur.
Are they learning new tricks and techniques, or is there a new ability that they can do this, or is this something that just they never needed to exhibit before, this new stuff? Or are they just throwing it at you to say, hey, look what I can do, Mr. Bigwig on your side? Or I mean, what's happening there?
What's actually happening is the exposure, I think, is a lot more now. And there's a lot more cases coming to the forefront with a lot of this type of activity. It isn't really anything new. I mean, I've heard about these different types of cases, and over the years, just never been involved with one where we had the audible sounds in thin air coming through like that. And to witness it and be around it, even after all these years, is still intriguing. It was something I had to sit there and start to rethink things again and start to think about it. But is it something new? No. But are things intensifying as time is going on? Absolutely. Over the past couple of years, there's so much exposure to paranormal shows and different things that I think people are talking more about what goes on inside their homes or the places where they work or places they work. You know, these are very phenomenal type situations coming forth now where people work. Now, most of the time when a person passes away, you would think they're going to go haunt their house.
Mm-hmm.
But right. So many people spend so much of their life working, and they were comfortable, some people, where they were working, they're going to go back there and start to haunt those types of places. So I'm hearing more and more about businesses having some major hauntings taking place than I've ever heard about before.
Well, one interesting tie-in to that, actually, is the remarkable amount of theater ghosts. For some reason, people who worked the theater, or a lot of theaters, a lot of them have their person who, you know, back in the 20s just loved the theater and you know, worked backstage or worked the lights or, you know, whatever, and they're still thought to be there. And so people love their, in that case, I see people, you know, have an affinity to the work that they loved to do. But perhaps now, not only is it something that you love so much, but something that you're so familiar with because you spend so much time there, right, working, you know, 80 hour weeks, that perhaps you're just so familiar with that that location that you're just going to hang around now.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many theaters I've heard about that, you know, have major hauntings in them. I mean, I lecture on a lot of universities and campuses throughout the U.S., and I'll tell you what, I hear more stories about their theaters being haunted than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when we do our investigations on campuses and things like that, they always focus in on the theaters.
Well, it seems like also, I mean, we had this discussion a couple of years ago, I think, on the show, but especially, I think we did a whole show on theater ghosts long time ago. And, I mean, a place like a theater, for example, I mean, along with, you know, people that may have worked there and been familiar with the place and been very hypersensitive to the area around them, you have to think about the energy that's being sent out at a place like that. You're talking about performance, you're talking about passion, you're talking about art, and that's what I've always thought, you know, just in my days, I hate to say it, but just some of the places that I played at when I was a musician, I'm retired now, but when I was a musician, some places I played at, I'm like, God, you know, Winger played on this stage last week. Wow, how cool was that? You know, or somebody like really that I really aspired to. And I could feel that energy alone in itself, like, wow, there was something that really heavy that went on, you know, went down here last weekend, right? So there is, I think, this bit of this idea of energy in theaters too, John, where, I mean, it would leave an impression, a psychic imprint, I think, where somebody really just gave it everything they had, you know, whatever performance art, whatever it was, you know, music, they would leave an impression on a theater, too. I mean, do you know what are you following me on that?
Absolutely, 100%.
Are we
doing? I agree with that. That has a tremendous amount to do with that. Now, here again, so many times we'll hear when certain plays or certain performances are put on, is when they'll get most of the activity. Now, did you know that in the majority of the theaters, they have what they refer to as a ghost light?
Yeah. They turn on a light to keep the evil spirits away at night or something, and it's also a safety thing. You know, if you have that light on and somebody comes in, they're not going to go banging around and bumping into things. But they do. They would leave a light on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, somewhere in the theater, called a ghost light, to, you know, thwart away any evil or something like that.
Well, they basically it's just to keep the spirits away, period, good or bad.
Oh, well, that's
and
true.
I just get intrigued. I got so intrigued by it because the more theaters I went in and the more places I went to, regardless of whether people believed in ghosts or not, they still respected and made sure that light was on after we left.
Yeah.
Really?
So I always found that intriguing with all the different ones I've been in.
Well, we're talking about theaters, though. I mean, like real theaters. I'm not talking about like the Cinemark down the street that has
right,
like
no,
you know,
yeah, we're talking art theaters, like plays a theater. And yeah, curtains, that kind of thing. Yeah,
because I think it's important to differentiate between the two. I mean, I don't know if they do the same thing in a regular, you know, movie theater.
But on the natural follow through from that is that, you know, because we were talking about people, you know, or things happening in places where people had always been or always had a passion for, that kind of thing. And then same thing with the now it seems to be oozing is probably the wrong word, but it seems to be crossing over into otherwise normal workplaces. You know, you've got your boutique shop or your you know, office building or something like that, your warehouse, and you've got now people noticing phenomena in these other places as well, places of work as well. So are we doing, is this actually a disservice that bringing the paranormal to you know, talking about it all the time? Are people just becoming more aware of what's always been there, or are people thinking about it so much that maybe they're drawing something there? I mean, are we doing a disservice to people by publicizing these things?
Well, I don't really think so, because I think it's a double-edged sword, so to speak. Both questions you just threw out, I definitely am in agreement with. We give a tremendous amount of recognition now in comparison to what we used to do, and people are talking about it more. Thus, if there is spirit in certain buildings, that's going to trigger more activity than normal. But here again, I don't really look at it as a bad thing, because people are talking more about it. People are willing to share more of the things that they've experienced in the past without everybody turning around thinking they're crazy.
It's a lot less taboo now. We say that all the time, that these subjects are way less taboo than they were 20 years ago. I'm sure you know that, John.
Yeah, definitely.
If anybody here knows that, it's going to be John.
Yeah, it's going to be John, yeah.
He was doing this 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you got to remember, even 10 years ago, you still were considered, if you did investigations or you got involved with anything on the paranormal realm, you were considered to be a devil worshiper.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, looking at it now in comparison to just 10 years ago, totally different.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally different.
Well, I think it is a result. It sounds like it is a result of so much media. I mean, and there is a lot. We just said there's a lot of media being pointed that way, and maybe that is breaking down the barriers.
Well, I'm hoping that what it's doing is providing a learning opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
To learn about something that's always been around, but has been, you know, a taboo subject, something you don't talk about or recognize. And so now this is a learning opportunity to learn about something that just really does happen. And it's not necessarily paranormal, because it's more normal than paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And people are just now noticing, because they're seeing it on TV, they're hearing it on the radio, they're getting it in their podcasts. You know, they're like, hey, maybe when I get back to work and nobody's been there all night and the alarm is still on but the lights are on instead of being off, maybe something is going on.
Well, here again too, there's so many things, just like talking with you guys, that I could never touch before. If we brought it up or we went too deep into it, I mean, it would be like, you know, you opened up the floodgates to just about everybody, you know, crucifying you.
Yeah.
But today you could talk about exorcism, possession, devils, demons, negative spirits. You could talk about all this without everybody jumping up on their, you know, soapbox and preaching at you. It's so far advanced now where people are understanding it, that there's so much we don't understand. And there's so much that we're looking and we're all thriving for, to try and piece that puzzle together on how all this works. And that's what intrigues me more so today, the openness, the willingness for everybody to at least talk about it and say, you know what, half of that junk I used to hear you talk about, I thought you were nuts, but now I got to look at it a little bit differently. And I just laugh. So, you know, I look at that and I understand it from all the different perspectives of what people talk about. Now, we were talking a little bit earlier about a case recently I was involved with also, too, where a woman levitated during the exorcism. I've never witnessed that right up till last year when it occurred. When the exorcism was being performed, it was a very heavy-duty type case, a person that just happened to get themselves into some serious trouble. And during the course of, I think it was like a two-hour or three-hour exorcism, I can't even remember, she levitated a couple of different times, and there were five people there, and everybody kept saying, you know, they were amazed at the levitation. I kept saying, you guys are nuts. You know, she didn't levitate. None of this took place. So I was sitting looking at the tape of this whole thing occurring, and you do see her levitate. But what amazed me more than anything was, we all missed it, but I caught it, was that the chair she was sitting in, when I was behind her trying to push her back down into the chair came up and you could see the chair going back and forth.
Oh.
Now, I had never, ever witnessed anything like that before and actually caught it on film.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I had to call all five people that were there and go, okay, I agree. it did occur, it did happen.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody kept saying, well, we told you. And I'm like, you know, when I'm in my mode at exorcisms, I don't pay attention to things. I'm more concerned about the person, the clergy, the other researchers that are around me that I just, you know, it's just things I don't pay attention to. But I had to sit and rewind that 15 times and sit and look at it and go, I can't believe it actually occurred. And that it actually did transpire. And then when I mentioned to everybody about the chair, everybody was like, well, we didn't even notice that. And I said, well, I noticed it. And I said, it's here on the video. So, it, you know, here again, some of the things, as many years as you're involved with this work, you don't know what you're going to come up against from case to case or situation. It's just things, no matter how long you've been involved with it, it just can always be something new. There's always something occurring that you least expect. So I always tell everybody, it really doesn't matter how long you've really been involved with this. There's always something new happening. There's always new curves to understand. I mean, 30 years ago, compared to the way I think about a lot of things today, is so different.
Oh, of course.
I don't look at everything to be, you know, so clear cut and dry, because we don't live in that type of a world.
Well, and that's what I think that this has become also, is that there have been, for a lot of years, people were trying to find the black and white of what was going on here.
Right. The formula.
Yeah, we know that we should be able to put it in a pretty little box and put it out there and this is what the paranormal is. And I gotta agree with you, John. My outlook is the longer I do this, and I don't mean this in a negative way, the longer I do this, the more confused I get sometimes, because I'm like, okay, that happened there, but that happened there, so that just blew my theory about what happened over there. So that's a good confusion, though, because it makes you ask questions. That's important, I think.
Was the late...
That's what's good, because I still do that. I'll still sit back after walking away from an investigation. I'll throw out theories, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be true. You have to continue to throw those things out and keep looking at them. And, you know, I'll admit, some of the things I throw out, everybody in my organization will look at me and go, you're nuts. You know, and we'll just sit and we'll mull over these things. I don't go back at anybody. I'll just sit back and wait to see. Okay, maybe they're right on something. Maybe they understand something that I didn't. And then we'll sit as things unravel. And 99% of the time, everybody will look at me and go, how did you figure that out? How did you know that it was going to go that course and it was going to happen that way? Well, it's not coming from the fact of, being psychic or anything like that, because as far as I'm concerned, I'm the farthest thing from it.
Mm.
It's being around this, learning to understand it, learning for what parallels from case to case. And a lot of times, those things do end up paralleling.
Was the lady helped? Is she living free of her whatever was bothering her?
Absolutely.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, good.
Absolutely. She was freed of it. Now, there's one thing that most people I notice never talk about. After a person has been delivered or exorcised, they have to keep their guard up continuously.
Oh, yeah.
Because they can fall victim very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something to be monitored continuously. And they will have paranormal activity around them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not an unusual thing. And they have to be taught this to understand that and realize what is exactly happening. Because there was, for many years, I always heard and never quite understood it, where people said, once you get involved with the paranormal or you've been touched by the paranormal, your life is never the same. And it's a very true fact.
I know with the few things that have happened to me, not directly, but the few things that I've been around, it was a life-changing experience, John. You're totally correct.
And I wish her the best of luck
absolutely.
In her future endeavors. What's next for you, John?
Well, I'll be heading down to Gettysburg this coming weekend with you guys.
Yeah!
Hey there, woo! Woohoo! We got to get up.
I'm looking forward to it. I think everybody's going to have a blast down there. There's a lot of things lined up, and I'll tell you what, you cannot go to Gettysburg and not have EVPs or walk away with some psychic photographs or intermingle in one of the haunted buildings down there without having an experience. I haven't seen it happen yet.
Well,
I've been down there many a times, and this is one of the conferences I'm looking very forward to going down and doing.
Yeah, the Eastern Regional Paranormal Conference that's going on this next weekend. We're going to be there. John's going to be there. Troy Taylor's going to be there. Whoa. I mean, John, if you are standing next to Troy Taylor, okay, I think you're going to visibly see me kind of like faint. I think that's what's going to happen.
We're bringing smelling salts.
Yeah, John, please stand next to Troy Taylor all weekend.
I don't know what the...
John Davis, Troy Taylor, Catherine Ramsey.
My goodness, it's going to be such a great event. I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun.
You got Rosemary there. You got
Rosemary Ellen Guiley.
Yep.
We have some phenomenal, phenomenal people. Charles Adams, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he is one of the best storytellers. He gets into telling these ghost stories that are phenomenal.
I can't
wait. He really gets into some really, really unique stories.
Well, we are going to be sitting there attentively the whole conference listening to everybody speak, and we are so excited about it. It's going to be great to see you again, too, this weekend, John.
Absolutely. And we're going to all be running into each other in Kentucky.
That's true.
We got a whole summer together, John. I think we should just all get like one U-Haul.
Make
and just
carpool
like,
back of
yeah, there you go.
Virtual carpools. Hang on the line.
Hang on the line for 1 second, John. We're going to go to break, okay?
Okay.
Guys, this is Ghostly Talk. We need to thank John for coming on the show.
Yes, thank you.
It's always a pleasure to talk to John. It really is always a pleasure to talk to John.
His website, www.johnzaffis.com.
Buy his book. It's awesome.
Yeah, Bonnie has been raving about it. Let's take a break, though. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doc.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back.